And that's not because I think I have a lot to say. I just prepared a lot, and I wanted to share it with you. But I invite you here, and I wanted to say to those of you, most of you don't know me or my husband, I appreciate the elders' confidence in Wayne and Shannon Kay and asking me to come and be here with you this week. It is such a blessing, and anyone that's ever taught knows that when you're presenting a lesson, you get far more out of it than anything you have to say to the recipients that are hearing it. But I pray that as you study this afternoon, that you will be encouraged and edified to go back to your home congregation and to do what the Lord has asked us to do. I say ask because we volunteer to be in His army. When we put on His name in baptism, we said, Lord, whatever your will is, I will do it. And I don't know of an issue that's probably more challenging for us as women with our personalities and our natures than to not worry. And for us not to be overwhelmed with things that are important, but maybe the things that are just not necessarily what we should be focused on. We're going to talk this afternoon about Mary and Martha, when to serve and when to sit. Be turning your Bibles to Luke 10, and we're going to start in 28. So when you get there, just hold your place. We're not going to go there quite yet. Does it sound like anyone you know? It's Friday afternoon, and the week is drawing to a close, and so are the nerves of a young mother. The week had just not turned out as she'd planned. The days before had been particularly hectic. On Monday, she cleaned a widower's house because his wife had died, and she volunteered to go and just clean up for him. On Tuesday, she had a meeting at the church to talk about the upcoming Ladies' Day. On Wednesday, she had a doctor's appointment that went far longer than it needed to. She got home late, didn't have time to cook dinner for Wednesday night Bible, before Wednesday night Bible class, and her kids were complaining because they had to eat cereal. On Thursday morning, she taught the ladies' Bible class, and on Friday, she realized that all of the things that had occupied her time that week, she had forgotten to go visit the sister who was in the hospital. She had just had a simply awful week, and she was stressed and nervous, and now it was Friday morning, and everything that seemed to go wrong was going wrong. Her husband was getting ready for work and asked where she was. She didn't know, so she snapped at him because it wasn't her responsibility to take care of her husband's shoes. He's of age. She sent her youngest 5-year-old off to school with some harsh words. And now her baby, who was learning to self-feed, had just thrown her cereal bowl, taken a perfect aim at the family's portrait on the refrigerator, and hit a bullseye. Dad would have been proud because he was budding picture in this. But it was the last straw for her. And as she was cleaning up the mess, her husband came in to kiss her goodbye before he was going off to work. But she didn't feel like being affectionate. She was tired. She was stressed. She was sitting on the floor in a puddle of oatmeal. And then she started to reflect as the door closed because she thought she heard him mutter something. And he muttered, Martha, Martha. I'm sure that with a few of those details changed, that could probably be us at one point in our lives or even now. We live in a very busy world. We live in an even busier world because we choose to take on things and do things that perhaps are not the wisest choices for us. It's typical in the church today. There are probably a lot of markers. You can substitute your name anytime you feel like it because we know that at times we have been guilty of not focusing on the main priority. We need more Marys, though, and that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. We're going to talk about some of the struggles between Martha and Mary. Mary chose that one good part. She sat at the Father's feet. We need more Marys in our congregation. We need the Marthas, don't get me wrong, because we tend to look at Martha very negatively sometimes. But Martha wasn't necessarily negative. Her priorities just got a little misused. And so we're going to talk about that this afternoon. And then we're going to hopefully talk about some practical ways when we should serve and when we should sit. So let's turn to Luke 10, and we're going to start there at chapter 38. Verse 38, I'm sorry.
Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain man, woman named Martha received him into her home. This is referring to Jesus and his disciples. They had gone to either the Feast of the Tabernacles or the Feast of Dedications, and they were on their way back to Judea. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now imagine, if you will, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, their brother, whom we know that Jesus raised from the dead, after 4 days, mind you. My kids always, when I teach that, I was like, he was in the grave and he's stinking. No. And the kids remember that. How long? And how did he smell? Oh, he stunk in his robe. And I'm like, yeah, because Jesus wanted to prove a point, that it was his Father and his power that had the ability. And as we're thinking about this story, imagine, if you will, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, they're home, very modest house one day. And what I see, not a very wealthy place, but I see in one part of the house, this woman. She's getting ready for some very important visitors. Ladies, if you ever come to my house, I can tell you this. You can come anytime you want to. Now, if you want to see my house, you need to call and make an appointment. If you want to come see us, you can come anytime. You don't need to call, just show up on the door, you can come in, you're going to get what you get. But in this particular day, there's this woman in the part of the house, and she is getting ready for some very important guests. In another part of the house, there's the men that enter, the guests that enter. She's still off in this other part of the house. And her sister can't be found. And she's like, where is my sister? I can imagine her looking like, where is my sister? I need help. The food has to be put on the table. It has to be just right. This is a very important visitor. And then she hears her voices in another part of the house, and she goes, and what does she see? She sees her lazy sister sitting at the feet of this very important guest. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that. That's Rose's interpretation. But can you imagine what she's thinking? Why didn't she get up and help me? There she goes, sitting off again. You know what? It's interesting. Stay with me. As she was making preparations in this house for Christ the Messiah to visit, what was really notable to me is that she didn't go to the door to meet her very important visitor. Maybe, have you ever done that? You have guests coming over? Of course, Shannon, can't be quiet, because every time they came over our house when they were there, I was in the kitchen. Because that's what we do, right? We have people coming, and we want it to be perfect. But she didn't stop what she was doing to go greet this very important visitor. Ladies, when you have guests coming over, just a quick reminder, and something I really want to urge you. What does it say to someone when they come to your house and you don't even go to the door to greet them? Does it say, I'm really glad you're here? Or does it say, you know what? I want you to eat, so I'm going to stay in the kitchen. And I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. I'll say, Todd, go to the door, because you want an adult there that's going to greet them. But I started making a point, because as I was sitting, I realized, too, that it says a lot to your guests when you have invited people into your home that you show up to the door and say, I'm really glad you're here. Now, you're going to have to come to the kitchen to help me. But how long does it take for you to go stop what you're doing and go to the door? So imagine, if you will, this lady goes and sees a very important guest with her sister sitting at his feet. And she just sees red. She just says, hey, she's not helping me. So she perceives that her sister has intentionally slighted her. Don't we take it personally? We think people should do things that we think they should do, and they're not doing them. That's not what God has called us to be. We don't get to decide as Christians what other people do. And that's very difficult, because we say we've been called to a higher standard. Christians should act a particular way. They should live holy. They should live righteously. and they should live sometimes in our minds when we're not careful the way we think they should live. Just like children don't command on performance, you know that cute little trick that your children do and you think it's so funny and you try to get them to do it for somebody else and they just they don't command, they don't perform on command. Neither do Christians. So we have to remember that we are all striving to be more like Him every day. Some of us are further along, some of us are further behind. But we have to remember, we don't get to decide. So picture this woman seeing her sister at this very important visitor's feast. And she says to him, Lord, do you not care? Some gall, isn't it? Because this guest was the father, the Messiah who had come. And even though he'd probably been in their home before, and he had a personal relationship with them, I think this takes a lot of nerves to question the Lord, don't you? But you know, she probably felt comfortable enough to say, Lord, you know my sister here. She's not helping me. And I just love Jesus' response when he says, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But your sister has chosen to do one needful thing. And I'm not going to take it away from her. He didn't minimize the fact that she needed help. He didn't embarrass her in any way to say, what you're doing is not important. It was important. But what I want us to focus on this afternoon was maybe we need to focus not on what's good because it's good, or maybe something that's better that we could do. Let us focus on doing the best thing. And that's difficult for us, but hopefully when we get done today, we'll have a better idea how to focus on the better thing. Mary says the feet of the master teacher, and Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Both were noble acts. They were both important things to be doing, but what was the cost? The word cumbered, and I did this for our ladies that were in school, I figured you'd want to know the original Greek word. So I actually put it up there. I can't read it, so don't ask me to. But if it helps you in your study, the word comes from the word peri and phyle, meaning to draw away. So when someone is cumbered by something, they're distracted or they're greatly troubled. I like what the ISB says, International Bible Encyclopedia. It says, to be drawn about in mind. Does it remind you of another scripture in James where it says, he that is double-minded in all his ways? It means your mind is divided. And when we're distracted or cumbered, we're drawn away from the things that are really important. That one needful thing, it comes from needful. I looked up the word needful. It comes from the word kaira, and it means something that is needed, it's necessary, and it focuses on accomplishing the business at hand. What was Mary doing? She was sitting at the master's feet doing that one needful thing, hearing the word of God. Now, can you imagine in that picture in the house, one sister over here working, the other sister sitting at the feet of the master. Can you imagine how Mary must have felt? She was listening to the Messiah, probably hearing words with a magnetism that she had never heard before. Ladies, how often this week have we sat at the feet of these great men and women that have been here speaking to us? Have we sat and listened to the words of Christ being preached through their personality and felt a calmness in our soul this week? It's encouraging to be able to sit and listen to the words, Lord's words, being delivered through His servants. And gospel preaching is no more than the gospel of Christ being taught through an individual's personality. That's what my husband tells me anyway. Because preachers are all different. But it's been wonderful to be able to sit and hear God's word. It's been encouraging. It's been a balm to our troubled souls this week. And make sure, before you leave, that you tell the elders of this good congregation that. Because it's important for them to know that the work and the vision they have with this work, a focal point, is well received and it's worth the effort and time that goes into it. But Mary was sitting at the master's feet. She wasn't necessarily concerned about what was going on in the rest of the house, as Martha was. Sometimes, ladies, whatever the duties of men, or whether they're real or imagined, whether they're great or small, we have to make sure that we heed the word of God. And that's what Mary had chosen to do. So I want to talk a little bit about the fact that, let's look at this from a good, better, and best perspective. Because what Martha was doing was good. But there was something that she may have been doing that could have been better. And of course, what Martha was doing was best at that time. Martha was not chided by Jesus for doing something evil. She wasn't. She was serving. She was being a host. She was involved in a very noble service that God tells us to be involved in. To be hospitable. To be entertaining. To have people have fellowship one with another. She was doing that. The Bible also tells us in Titus 2, 3-5, and Lisa did a great job of that this morning, talking about the role. That she was being a keeper at home. And also 1 Timothy 5:14, she was guiding her house. That's not a bad thing. But Martha had a problem with giving freely of her hospitality. She was concerned about what Mary was not doing. Does that ever happen in the church today? We get busy and all of a sudden you notice that other people aren't so busy. And then it bothers you because you find yourself doing something that you started out doing out of love for Christ. And you have the right focus, but all of a sudden you notice that other people around you just aren't working. Now sometimes that can be discouraging, and sometimes it can make you upset. But ladies, we have to remember that we serve God because God has asked us to. And because He has commanded that we do it. And we do it out of love. I know more times than not, as the wife of a man who's a preacher, that we have to remind ourselves that we are serving God. We don't answer necessarily to the congregation per se. When people think we should be doing something or not doing something. And that's a very thin line. It's a very fine line. Because what I encourage you to do is to remember to treat everyone as a Christian first. Not as the preacher or his wife or the elder and his wife, but to treat everyone as Christian. Martha had a problem giving freely of her hospitality. And it made her overly anxious about what her sister wasn't doing. What others do or don't do should not interfere with our own commitment to God. That goes back to the level of maturity that we all have to ascribe to get to. We have to serve regardless of the circumstances, and we cannot let what others do or don't do hinder us from that. I like what Jesus said in John 21, verses 20 and 22. Peter turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, he's referring to John, which also leaned upon his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrays thee? Peter seeing himself to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And here's Jesus' response. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Isn't that a nice way of telling him that's none of your business? I love the way Jesus said it. What is that to be? What difference does it make whether he's here or not, or who is going to betray him? Follow thou me. And that's the instruction. We have to follow Christ. Some excuse themselves from the Lord's work, citing the faults of others. And when we become so hindered and hampered and cumbered about with what we're doing, it's so easy to find fault in others. Mary kept working, but complained about what Mary wasn't doing. And that happens a lot of times, so the joy in service gets lost here. People will keep working, but guess what? They'll surely tell you about it. I remember a sister at one work we had. She was cleaning the bathroom. The lady cleaning the bathroom in this building was not a very glorious task. I trust me, I cleaned them enough to know. It wasn't. It was an older building, the bathroom had bathroom issues, let's put it like that. But she would come and she would clean the bathroom. And guess what? Everybody knew when she came and cleaned the bathroom. Why? Because she told everybody. Why? Because she was upset because no one else came to clean the bathroom. I know that sounds silly, but that's what happens when our work becomes predicated on what someone else does or doesn't do. She told everyone because she felt slighted that others weren't coming to help clean the bathroom. Ladies, whatever we do it because of your love for God. Not because of the praise of men that we would get. Not because
we think other people would see us in a certain way.
Do it because we love God.
2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says that God is going to reward everyone according to what we have done. But also includes what he or she has not done. So make sure that when we're serving, we're focusing on what's the best to do. Margaret allowed a good thing to distract her from the best thing. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 24 through 30 and 34 to 40 tells us of how those men used their talents. But we know that the man with one talent did not use his talent the way that God would have him to. He did not make the best choice. And of course, the man with many possessions in Matthew 19, he was doing all the right things. He had kept the law from his youth. But because he had many possessions, and the Lord told him to give all that you have, give all that you have, and give it to the poor. Take all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. The Bible says he went to sorrowful because he had a lot of possessions. We have to make sure that we don't allow the good that we do, the nice things, the great things that we're doing to follow Christ, to become tainted by not doing the best. Sometimes God's greatest opportunities come when we are caught up in doing a lot of things. And I want to pause and stop here and say, inflexibility keeps us sometimes from doing the best thing. You know, when we have our schedules and we have certain times that we have to do things, the way we have to do it, and a brother or sister may come along and say, you know what, I really could use a ride to the doctor tomorrow. And because you know tomorrow at 2 o'clock when they've asked that you have something planned in your schedule, you can't do it. I'm encouraging you to add another beatitude. Now this is according to Rose, it's not in the Bible. I'm going to encourage you to add this beatitude to your lifestyle. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. Learn to be flexible in our service to one another. We have to make sure that we're taking advantage of those opportunities. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I want you to focus on 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? We do a lot of wonderful work, ladies, all the time. But do we do them the way that we should, the way God would have us to do them, with the right heart, with the right spirit? Because verse 23 should be sobering for us all. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We don't want that to be set as a day of judgment. Doing good things can distract us from doing the best things. We should follow the instructions of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31 particularly, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Covet the best gift. Doing good things can make us self-righteous if we do not find what is best. And I think that's what happened to the Pharisees. When they were praying, they decided that their way was the best way. And it was not in accordance with what God would have them do and the way he would have them do with the right humility and spirit. And so we need to make sure that we don't become puffed up in our own thinking that what we're doing is the best thing to be doing, as opposed to checking with God. And of course, you saw that in Mary in Luke chapter 10, the last half of that verse 40. Doing good without recognizing what is best can make us upset with God. Remember she said, Lord, don't you care? Dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So make sure that doesn't happen to us. Martha was concerned with many secondary things, and she had not developed the proper sense of priorities. Jesus emphasized the importance of proper priorities in Matthew 6, Matthew 7, of course, in 23. Of Matthew, those chapters. Mary saw that sitting at Jesus' feet was more important than the preparations for his visit. Would you guys agree with that? Absolutely we would. So knowing Jesus is the basis upon which all of the rest of our life is conditioned. I think Brother Owens has said that our relationship with Jesus, with God,
governs all the other relationships that we have. And that's true in this case too. John 17:3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, and the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." We have to know what God's word tells us to do and how to do it. Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." John 14:8. It has to be based on a knowledge of Christ. Mary's priority caused her to anoint Jesus for his burial. Probably one of the most beautiful images in the Bible is when you think about, in John 12, the fact that Mary washed our Lord's feet with her hair. Do you see the picture of humility that is? She anointed his head and his feet. Not just his head, but his feet as well. Notice that she sat at his feet when he was at their house in Luke 10. And then further over in Luke, in John 11, she was there at his feet again. She was a student of the Lord. She was one who wanted to hear what the Lord had to say. But look at the beautiful imagery of her sitting at his feet, wiping her feet with her hair. She loved God. The Bible tells us that when she did that, she poured, the Bible tells us that the oil was anointed his head, but they were accustomed chiefly to anointing the head, or I said hair, that should be feet. It was accustomed to anoint the head and the feet. And John said that she poured it on the feet of Jesus and wiped them with her hair. Barnes said that this pouring ointment on the head was common. To pour it on the feet was an act of distinguished humility and an attachment to the Savior. And that's where Mary was. Martha would later also show her depth of her devotion to the Lord at the death of her brother Lazarus. In John 11:17, she affirmed that God was Christ and that he could raise her brother Lazarus from the dead if he chose to. So we're not saying that Martha did not have a love for God, but please don't misunderstand that. I think so many times we're critical of her because of her complaining and her being busy and her being cumbered about, but she also understood and loved the Lord. Most Christians do not find the greatest struggles to be with deliberately choosing to do evil. Our failings are most likely to be found in misplaced priorities, choosing good rather than choosing the best. And I challenge you to think about some of the things that are in your life. They're good, but are they causing you to be so cumbered about that they're preventing you from choosing the better part or the best part? So in the time that we have left remaining, we're going to talk about when to serve and when to sit. Christians are to serve at all times, obviously. The Bible tells us in John 12:26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." We are to serve at all times. Galatians 5:13 tells us we're to serve one another. Colossians 3:24 tells us that we are to serve the Lord Christ. Galatians 6:10 says we're to do it to all men. So we're not only to serve all times, it tells us we're to serve and do good unto all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. 1 John 3:17 says, and this is a sobering thought, "But whosoever hath this world's goods and seeth his brother hath need, and sheddeth up his bowels with compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" So often we're distracted by the things going on around us that we fail to see the need right before us. Like, look around your congregations when you get back and look for those who have needs. They're there if you would look. Now, I know we've talked a lot about relationship building this week in some of the sessions, and they're so important because it's hard to serve when we don't know people. But I promise you there's probably a widow who would love to just have a hug from your children. I make my sons, and I do, I make them. I make them every Sunday hug at least three widows in the congregation. The power of touch is so strong. To see those smiles and those relationships that they're building with those ladies who have lost a very part of themselves with their spouse is gone. They need that. You can serve in that way. Encourage your children to look for ways to serve. It could be as simple as opening a door. It could be as simple as someone's coughing, going to get them a cup of water. I was so proud of my older son. We have a sister in our congregation who's blind. And for some reason, it's always hot in our congregation. I don't know what it is, but it's hot. And so a lot of people cough because it's so dry and it's warm. And he will get up every time she starts coughing and go get her some water. I didn't tell him to do it. There are opportunities to serve and encourage each other to look around in the congregation, see where there's a need to serve. It's not always as obvious as you think it is. It's not always, we're great, ladies, at rallying around when someone has a major problem, aren't we? We're great. If someone needs something, someone's house burns, someone's in a hospital, we're great at doing those things. It's the day-to-day that sometimes we get so encumbered with the good that we forget to look for the best. So look for the best. When one lacks knowledge, I always say it's a time to sit. When to serve, when to sit. When one lacks the knowledge to teach, it's a time to sit at the master's feet and to learn better. Hebrews 5:12 says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of the gods, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. Ladies, when we have not adequately prepared ourselves to teach, it's a time for us to sit at the master's feet. When one serves for the wrong reason, when one serves out of fear, to be seen by others, when one serves with a see what I'm doing attitude, or I mean first attitude, and when one is serving from a half-hearted heart, and it's not giving a when he or she is not giving 100%, it's time to sit at the master's feet and decide, to study more, to decide what is it I need to be doing and how should I be doing it. It's time to sit when your service discourages others from serving. And this may sound like a very strange reason, but I have a reason for putting it there. We all know people in the congregation that are the person to go to for the one thing, right? Are you with me? They are the expert. They've done it for years. They've always done it. It's always done that way. No one else can do it any other way. I'll give you an example. We used to have fellowship meals at one of the congregations where we were. And ladies, with 200 people, it's hard to move people down the fellowship table. But there was one sister that says you can only go on the outside of the table. Can't go on both sides at the same time. That's how ridiculous. Yeah. Well, my husband, unknowing, didn't know that rule. And so he had people usher down the other side on both sides of the table. We were all seated in a matter of 15, 20 minutes. But you know, people were actually standing there, women were standing there concerned that this one sister would be upset because they didn't follow the rules, her rules. Ladies, when we are serving becomes discouraging to other people. It discourages by people getting stuck in their modes, but it also discourages by the fact that there are new people that need to be taught and need to be given an opportunity to serve. Ladies, the older ladies are to teach the younger ladies. That also means that at some point that you turn over those reins and that you train them and allow others to serve. Don't be a discouragement to others if they're serving. When things must be done your way, it's a time to sit back and sit at the master's feet and study more thoroughly. For I say to the grace given, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's Romans 12:3. We need to make sure that we have the right proper perspective of our service. And when we don't, that we sit back, we step back and go to the Lord's feet to study. When one's service is contentious and divisive, 1 Corinthians 11:16 and 1:10, when there's sin in one's life, we need to sit at the master's feet and study and listen to his words. When in need of ministry, sometimes, ladies, remember yesterday I said you're either on a mission or you are the mission. Sometimes we're just not able to serve the way God would have us to serve because we're in need of someone ministering to us. We need to recognize those times and step back and sit at the Master's feet. And when the cares of the world distract us continually, remember we talked about the good, the better, and the best? The good part. There are lots of good things, but sometimes the cares of this world, baseball games, school plays, even good things, Bible classes. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying when you add them all up together, all the good things, going to the hospital, going to visit, going to the nursing home on Sunday afternoon, whatever those good things are, you need to remember to try to put them in perspective. And sometimes, ladies, the way to do that is to seek that balance. And the word is no. To be honest, to say to yourself, I cannot do anymore. I need to step back and I need to reprioritize. Because if what you're doing is not what God would have you do, and you're not happy about what you're doing for God, you really need to step back and say, have I allowed the cares of the world to distract me from that best part? John 13:15-17 says, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than the things that sent him, than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye that do them. God, Jesus gave us the best example on how to serve in John 13. When he took a basin of water and washed the dirty feet of his disciples. There's no greater picture of service. There's no greater picture of a servant than Christ. And I would encourage us all to emulate him, to be able to find ways that you can serve. Ladies, the disciples during that time walked on dusty, dirty roads. That was a servant's job, a servant. Not the Lord, but it was a servant's job to provide water and a basin to wash the feet of those that were visiting in your home. And here's our Lord, the Son of God, girding himself with a towel and stooping down to wash the feet of his disciples. And shouldn't we wash the feet of those that are around us? And it's not always pretty. Sometimes it's very, very difficult. Some of the things we're called to do, but we have to do it. Because I tell my children, being a Christian is not a Sunday, Wednesday proposition. It is a lifestyle. It is who we are. It is what we do. Look at where you are in your life. Look at your priorities. If you need to decide if you need to sit or to serve today, I would encourage you to be honest about that. And it really seeks to do what God would have you do in serving him. Serve him out of love. Serve him out of joy. Serve him because we love the brethren with unfeigned love. Get to know your brothers and sisters so you can really say, I love you and I want to serve you. And I am here to serve you. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that you've given us to sit at your feet. Father, help us as we become cumbered about in this world, that we will remember, Father, that we always need to avail ourselves to sit at your feet and to learn more about thee, to learn how to be better women for thee and how to rear our children, Father, and how to teach those around us more about thee. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have to come together to study your word. And we thank you, Father, for this great congregation, for elders, for preachers, for deacons, and each member here. We pray, Father, that you will help us to be better women for having been here this week. And, Father, we pray that you'll help us to go and serve thee with love and joy. And, Father, we pray that we'll always, always put thee first in all that we do. Forgive us when we fell short. Help us, Father, to know when to sit and when to serve. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray.